Today marks the end of the media fast that we've been on. We had a story that ran Thursday night on television. I was in a place of business on Friday, I guess it was, and somebody that had seen that little story on TV came up and said, "Now, have you decided that your people are never going to use media again? Is that what that's all about?" I said, "That's not my privilege to decide that, first of all, but no, it's just a 21-day fast that we've been doing, and I trust that you've enjoyed it. I think it's one of the greatest things that we've ever done. It just gets you in touch with things, kind of reprioritizes, recalibrates you. That's been the title of my message here during this 3 weeks, and I'm going to continue that, hopefully finish that here today. I will finish it here today. That's my promise. But the bottom line is, this is an opportunity for us to see God reassociate us with truth. You know, truth exists, whether you like it or not, just like gravity exists. You can ignore it if you want to, but it will bite you. And truth is there. And the idea of recalibrating us is to get us on the same page with God so that we acknowledge what He acknowledges. And when we find ourselves in agreement with God, we find ourselves receiving the promises of the Lord and walking, just as Mark said so beautifully this morning, quoting Smith Wigglesworth from a long time ago. What an awesome statement, and it is so absolutely true that when we get on the same page with God, God gets on the same page with us, and we see things begin to happen. So today I want to take you to the last two parts of this little message real quickly today. We talked about things we can do to recalibrate our mind. The first is to respond and recognize to a change in atmosphere. There's a moment when you realize God's presence is working in your life, and those sanctuary moments, as we talked about, I dare not go back there today. But the sanctuary moments with God are times when God puts the light on perhaps an idea or a philosophy or a system of belief that isn't exactly what His is, and reveals to us the truth as He sees it. Those are powerful moments, and we need to really get acquainted with those kind of times. And that's one of the reasons why this fast is so important, is to slow down, to basically stop a lot of the noise in our lives so that we can hear the voice of God. And it's so readily available to us, and God wants to speak to your heart and to mine, and He's constantly doing so. Recognizing it is the key. Secondly, meditate. We read from Psalm 1 last week about the process of meditation that the psalmist was referring to. There is a principle in Judaism whereby people meditate actively. They don't just go blank and let whatever is in the universe basically flood their mind. They basically treat it as a proactive exercise where they take a promise of God or Scripture and begin to quote it over and over to themselves. And they call it davening, which is a process where they get so into what they're doing, they're repeating this phrase over and over again, interspersed with prayer, and they kind of rock backwards and forwards. Maybe you've seen either pictures or in your own life, having been there, what goes on at the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, where the priests will often gather for hours at a time and get involved in this davening, which is their process of meditating on the Lord, reminding the Lord in prayer of His promises and so forth and so on. But this is a very proactive thing, meditation, in terms of a Christian version of it. God says that we should do so, and when we do so, He will bless us in amazing ways. Psalm 1, cannot go back there today. Romans chapter 12, if you'd turn over there with me just for a moment today. And I want to read to you as a backdrop for what we're about to talk about there, something from 1 Corinthians, which I think is extremely, extremely important to know going in. Let me read from 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 16. You can either turn there with me or you can just hold what you got there in Romans. The Bible tells us here, He says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." The point here is this, that through the senses, through the natural capabilities of learning and understanding, the things of God have not appeared to us. We really can't receive them. The Bible is very plain about this, that even no man can even come to God unless the Spirit of God draws him. There is an absolute requirement for revelation to come to you and me, that the Spirit of the Lord has to come and help us. As we see here, eyes and ears are not equipped in and of themselves to find the truth and find the wisdom of God like we would like to find it. Verse 10 is a promise, though. It says, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Here's the kicker. But the natural man, that is the person you were born to be, physically, emotionally, and so forth, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned or spiritually taught. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no man. Verse 16, powerful verse. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Man, that is a passage of Scripture that still fascinates me after all these years. The promise on the one hand that God will open up His mind to us. I mean, I don't know of anything personally that excites me any more than to realize that God is not playing hard to get. I want you to acknowledge that with me. God is not playing hard to get. People say, well, it's just so hard to hear from God, or I don't hear from God. Wait a minute. His word to us is quite the opposite. That His Holy Spirit is bent on sharing with us the things that belong to salvation and godliness. In fact, it's so interesting to me that we all throw around the term apostle. And we have an idea what apostle is. And I think it's telling that the word apostle was not associated with anything to do with the Old Testament scriptures. It was not a religious term at all. In fact, what it was a term that was describing an office in the Roman military. An apostle to them was a general that was sent in after the sword was sheathed, after the fighting on the battlefield stopped, and when a conquered people needed to be assimilated into the Roman kingdom. They would send a very special kind of a military officer in. He was known as an apostle. His job was to come into a conquered people and begin to explain to them and acquaint them and assimilate them into the Roman system, to explain to them the benefits, to explain to them all that goes on, the responsibilities of Roman citizenship, and to bring them into alignment with the kingdom that they had been brought into by force. That's why when the apostles were connotated to the world, we need to understand where that came from. They were not just religious officials. They were men that had come in favor of another kingdom. And to those that had become believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, their job was to bring them into alignment with the operational procedures of another kingdom. So when we read the words of the apostles, we're not just reading the words of religious commentators. We're reading the words of men who have seen it, who understand it, and who are authorized to announce the principles and the privileges of your new citizenship. People say, well, I don't get much out of the Bible. Well, that's your problem. And it is a problem. Because herein are contained things which belong to you and belong to me. And God has caused at great price and at great cost these things to be made available to us. And He wants every one of us to enjoy the full extent of the kingdom that the apostles came to represent. So this morning I want you to acknowledge with me that your natural mind, look at verse 14 again. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. This is why I am so bothered by the propensity of people today to want to be just a normal Christian, which by interpretation means somebody that doesn't differ a whole lot from the world around them. You see, we want to blend in. We don't want to have to stand for anything. We want to be get along with everybody. We don't want to have to take a stand on unpopular things. We just want to get along. Well, let me tell you, there is a war going on in this world, and you must decide which side you are on. And your natural mind is going to want to basically submit to a natural order of things, while God is calling us to be people that stand within it but yet outside of it. When Jesus said, "You're in the world but not of the world," it was a hard thing for a natural mind to understand. But when we understand that we are dual citizens, we have a dual citizenship. I belong to a kingdom that has no end, whose builder and maker is God. This kingdom is on the rise. This kingdom will expand and fill the entire universe. It is other than the kingdoms of this world. It includes the kingdoms of this world. In fact, our commission is to go and expand God's kingdom within the present world while we are here on our watch. The rule of God, the kingdom of God, means that where God rules, where his leadership is acknowledged and followed and submitted to. And so we are called to represent that kingdom. And yet, we are born with a mind that has basically a governor put on it by our nature. And we can't see into the realm of the Spirit. And so when anyone talks to us about the supernatural, I would imagine that there would be a group within this very room this morning that when Pastor Josh mentioned the healing of one of his little daughters this morning, they said, "Well, it was probably just a 24-hour thing. It was probably just this, or it was probably just that." And we slot it into something we can understand because we're more comfortable with things that fit within the parameters of our experience. But let me tell you something. There is a realm, and we dip our toe in it from time to time, and we swim in it from time to time, and we come in and out of it and find green pastures, as Jesus taught. But the fact of it is that the realm of the kingdom of God is the permanent realm for which you and I are equipped to live. The problem is that our natural mind fights us every step of the way. Does anybody here wake up in the morning and say, "I just can't wait to pray today"? I hope so, but I'm saying it's rare. We will gladly substitute other things for the things that really matter. This fast has been an exercise in trying to help us become recalibrated a bit by focusing more on the Word of God, on prayer, on one another, and not constantly sitting like little birds with our mouths open waiting for someone to drop something into our heart and mind. And the Bible says something very, very poignant. We usually attach it to sexuality, but it says, you cannot take fire to your bosom and not be burned. Truth of the matter is, what I consume and what I expose myself to will, in fact, begin to define my belief systems. And the Bible tells us to guard our heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. And it's so easy to just open your heart to everything that's out there. Entertainment, activity on the internet, whatever it might be. There's a lot of stuff that's coming toward you. And it comes at such a pace, and it comes with such insistence and such popularity in many cases, that we don't really take time to analyze what is being said to us and see if it fits according to the parameters that God has described to us. And so it's very, very easy for us to find ourselves in a very bad place, and the natural mind is always at war with God about the things that God has said. And yet the promise is that we have the mind of Christ. And I don't know about you, but of all the search engines out there, I would rather rely on his, because he knows everything that can be known about everything, and he doesn't have an axe to grind or some bias that causes him to slant information to us in order to deceive us or bring us into his fold. He's just telling us the truth. And so I would encourage you to realize that your mind is going to war against you. And when you find yourself thinking and saying to yourself, I really don't feel like doing that right now when it comes to reading or prayer. When you put everything else ahead of God and God's things in priorities in your life, be aware that that probably is not a priority system being set by the Holy Spirit. It's probably something by your old natural mind that is warring against God. And so that's what we've been about here for these 21 days. I hope that perhaps new habits have been birthed in our lives, and we'll see as time goes on. But I'll promise you, you'll never regret it if you'll begin to put the Lord first. Let's take a look at Romans chapter 12 right quick. This is a very, very familiar verse to a lot of people. And yet, because of its very familiarity, sometimes we do not prioritize it like we should, or we take it for granted because we know the verse. But in the sense of real knowing, knowing means doing. And so let's read this together today, just a couple of verses here. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. And I think I need to point out once again that the word beseech there is a very powerful word. I urge you. He's begging the people to pay attention to what he's saying. Again, the apostle speaking here. I beseech you or beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable or rational service. You've been bought with a price, therefore you are a love slave, and so you present your body to him for the betterment of his kingdom and for your own life, actually. Number two, do not be conformed to this world. The phrase there literally means to be squeezed into the mold of. Do not allow yourself to be squeezed into the mold of a worldly, ungodly system. It's amazing the way that we react to our surroundings. You can almost always tell who people hang out with by the type of vocabulary they use, possibly even the very clothing that they wear on their body, the music they listen to, and so forth and so on. We are easily influenced by people out there in the world around us. That's what we're talking about. Do not allow the world to squeeze you into its mold. God has something for you that's unique to you and unique to his kingdom, and we don't want to trade that off for some kind of a trendy thing that's going on in our world that does not acknowledge God. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Again, the word transformed there is the same word that's used when the Bible tells us the story of Jesus going up the mountain with three of the disciples. And at the top, it says he was transfigured. He had gone up in clothing much like they wore, probably homespun garments. He didn't wear expensive garments at all. But when he got to the top, something happened. The cloud of God, the glory of God came upon him, and even his clothing began to radiate the glory of God. He was transfigured. He became something else altogether, more akin to what he had been before he was made flesh, I'm sure. And they couldn't hardly look at it. It was bright. They said the garment was so white that no bleach or no cleaner on earth could have made it such. And so he was transfigured before them. And God uses this same term in the word of the Lord here, that you and I will be transfigured, if you will, by the renewing of our minds. Now, this word also has the connotation of metamorphosis. Same exact word, actually, used in scientific terms. You all know the story of what happens to the caterpillar. The caterpillar is crawling along the ground doing his thing, and one day he crawls up onto a plant and attaches himself and begins to spin a cocoon around himself and encloses himself, and he's in there for quite a while. And a little bit later on, you see some movement in that cocoon, and it begins to break open, and then pretty soon some wings unfold, and what went into that cocoon as a worm comes out as a beautiful butterfly. And instead of crawling around over every obstacle in life, he just spreads his wings and flutters a little bit and flies hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles in some cases. And then God wants to give us that same illustration of what our lives can be. when we begin to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, God can change you into an earthbound creature, and from an earthbound creature into an airborne creature. You can begin to soar in some things you never even knew existed. Reminds me of the joke one time of the two caterpillars that were walking along and crawling along the grass, and they see a butterfly flying overhead, and one caterpillar turns to the other and says, "You'll never get me up in one of those things." A lot of Christians are the same way. Scares the bejeebers out of us to think that we would ever be different than what we are right now, different than what mom and dad ever were. We're comfortable where we are. Well, you may be comfortable where you are, and a caterpillar's life is better than some lives, I suppose. But I'm telling you today, before God this morning, God wants to transform us into people that know how to traffic in the kingdom of God. We are built for this. We are built for fellowship with God. We're built to understand His voice. We're built to forward His will in lives, not just our own life, but to make a difference where we are. God wants us to make a difference in our city. God wants our families to be turned inside out for Him. God wants us to make a difference in our world. Elections matter. We're to occupy until He comes. And any politician, any leader that stands before us should be judged not on the basis of their party, but on the basis of how their platform and their belief systems and their willingness to lead line up with the kingdom of God. Yeah. Folks, we've got to get over ourselves. It makes a difference. Our kids will inherit the future that we leave to them. It's time that we stop being foolish. Stop following the crowd and start following the voice of God. You are made to hear it. You are made to be most fulfilled in your life by doing whatever He says to you to do. I'm telling you, it's so exciting when you think that the God of all the universe desires to pour into you His wisdom, His power, and His provision. Oh my gosh, what's better than that? And yet we tend to push Him off to the side and prioritize every other thing under the sun, it seems. But God has come into His world. And I'm going to tell you what, He's given us the ability to eat the fruit of our own ways enough that we've just about come to the conclusion that we need Him. You know? And while some people are trying to push Him out of public life, others are raising Him up where He should be. And we thank God for that. All right. Let's read the whole verse. "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove," that is, walk out, "what is good and acceptable and perfect, the perfect will of God." This is a moment where we realize, there, one pastor I know of said the following quote I think is very, very true. He said, "Many or most Christians have repented enough to be forgiven, but not enough to see the kingdom." We were told that we could go to heaven if we repent of our sins. But there is another kind of repentance that needs to be done on a daily basis. We need to remind ourselves that, "Lord, my ways are not higher than your ways. My thoughts are not above your thoughts." And the thing that's come home to me so much during this fast is the absolute ridiculous nature of prioritizing what I think over what God thinks. As if somehow the finite mind could judge properly the infinite mind. The one who has lived 40 or 50 or 60 or 70 or 80 years could somehow tell the Ancient of Days what's right and wrong and give him permission. You know, it kind of reminds me of the stories we've all heard about the weird uncle. You know, everybody has one in their family. I hope I'm not the one in our family, but, you know, everybody's got a weird uncle in their family, and you kind of hope at the family gatherings he won't get too carried away. You know what I'm saying? Anybody here know what I'm saying? Anybody have a picture of someone in your mind of exactly what I'm talking about? You know, the weird uncle, we want him to kind of cool it. We bring somebody to church with us, and we hope the weird uncle won't do something crazy in church. You know, we always are concerned about that. And it's almost as if so many people out there feel like God's the weird uncle. He's going to do something crazy. He's going to do something that's not going to fit. I can promise you He will. Yeah. I can promise you He will, because your idea of what's weird and His idea of what's wonderful are probably in conflict. There comes a moment in life where we need to say, God, I choose your way. I choose your way. And God's purpose is not to embarrass you. How sad is it that we get embarrassed by things that belong to heaven, but seemingly can digest all of the adverse and crazy and pitiful behaviors of our world. I don't know what it is about us, but we've been literally indoctrinated by things that are of an antichrist spirit. And we seem to think it's okay. It's normal. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing one day to stand before his presence when sin as a culture is no longer part of our worldview. And in those moments, what seemed foolish and weird and on the edge to us will seem so brilliant. And we'll say, what was I thinking? We live beneath our privilege for our entire life because we somehow thought that God's ways were a little outrageous. That giving 10% of your income thing, oh my gosh. And God says, all I was doing was looking for an opportunity to get involved in your finances and help you. I wanted to rebuke the devourer for you, but you have to agree with me. You have to get in covenant with me before I can do that. You kept me out of your finances and blame me when you didn't have them. I'm a preacher. You expect me to talk about that. Let's go to Philippians, shall we? Philippians chapter 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Philippians. You know that. Philippians chapter 4. Here's what our mind is supposed to be up to. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. I am, like you, well aware that gossip and bad news travels faster than the last Ethiopian chicken. Absolutely. I mean, it goes around so fast that the updated version is available before you hear the first one. It is amazing how we tend, because our minds are geared to this natural world, a fallen world at that, we tend to revel in the dirt. There are entire groups of publications out there that could not exist if it weren't for the love of gossip. How many of you know what I'm saying? Hopefully you do not subscribe to them. Hopefully you don't visit their websites. The truth of it is, we revel in the fact of how bad things can be and how bad people can be. I'm a news buff, and I have to admit that most of the stuff I hear and read in my search to know what's going on out there in the world do not fit any of these categories. They mostly have to do with things that teach me not to trust anybody. They mostly have to do with disappointing behaviors and disappointing philosophies of people that are being traitors and are doing this and that and the other thing. And boy, I tell you, it can begin to cause you to be a cynic. Begins to cause you to look for the devil behind every bush. Begins to cause you to be very negative. And you ingest this into your health. You realize what I'm saying? There's been studies done. I think it was Norman Cousins that did the first one and basically got healed, if I'm getting the facts right here. Laughter is the best medicine. Do you realize that laughter in and of itself has been clinically proven to heal people of many maladies? Just laughter. And they said, you know, the group that originally started this thing out, they said, you know, we told every joke we knew, and then we ran out of jokes, so we just decided to force laughter. And they just started laughing. They just started, you know, doing it, faking it. And pretty soon, they were all laughing so hard that tears were running down out of their eyes. And they began to see that people were being healed of even chronic diseases because of the power of laughter. Now, that is just physiological. I mean, that's just something that happens to a human body. But the fact of it is, the joy of the Lord is an even higher level of benefit and blessing. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I would encourage you to take a real strong look at that verse right there and begin to not be squeezed into the mold of your world. Many of you come from families where it's just constant pulling people down. Constant finding fault with people and what they should have done. And that religious, spiritual kind of atmosphere is one of the most deadly things on earth. I love this quote by Bill Johnson. He said, I cannot afford to have a thought in my head about me that God doesn't have in his mind about me. We need to understand that God is good all the time. We need to understand that he has a plan for us. He's been thinking about us from before the foundations of the world, and we need to get on the same page with him. I love Isaiah 26:3, where it says, you will keep him in perfect peace, which means health, prosperity, wellness of being, and soundness of mind. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. Man. Once again, I have exceeded my time before I got done with my message. What you can't afford to have in these days and times is an offended mind. Jesus found that in Nazareth when he began to explain what his ministry was going to be all about. They got so fired up. They heard God. They heard the word of the Lord. They heard the promise of the Messiah coming out of this man. And they said, where did he learn these wonderful things? And then they started to be offended in their minds because they said, but we know him. His mother and his sisters are with us. And they got so offended at him, they wanted to kill him. They wanted to crown him, and then they wanted to kill him simply because they had an offense in their mind. And folks, the last point in this message, in this series, is praying without ceasing. I'm encouraging you to understand that it's not always prayer that causes you to kneel, but it is a life poised toward God. We inhale God and we exhale sin. It's one of those kind of things where you constantly are in conversation with the Lord. People say, you know, pray for this. Well, pray for it right then. Pray for it before you walk away. Somebody on the phone says, pray for me about this. You say, I'll do it. Do it. Hang up. Pray on your way to the next thing you're doing. Just breathe a prayer to God. People say, well, I don't know what to pray. I talking to a wonderful gentleman this afternoon or this morning that yesterday afternoon was involved in the Roots class here at church where they prayed for a couple of hours. So I didn't think you could pray more than an hour. And he's a godly man. I'm not sure he's prayed much in his life. But you know something? Once you get into it, once you start using the Lord's pattern for prayer, you can pray not only an hour, but 2 hours or 4 hours if you happen to have it. Because there's enough to talk about there, and it is what God asks us to do. In addition to what you pray with your understanding, learn to pray in the Spirit. People say, well, it's speaking in tongues. It has to have an interpretation. You just got about a third of the understanding. It is also good for praising God well, the Bible says. It is also the kind of prayer that the natural understanding doesn't have. We can't get a hold of what's being said because we're not praying unto men. We're praying unto God. And we're praying according to the will of God when we so do. You can speak in tongues under your breath. You can pray driving down the road. You can pray in the middle of the night when you don't know how to pray. And you can rest assured that when you do so, you're giving thanks to God, first of all, which is the beginning of entering into his presence. And secondly, you're praying according to the will of God because the Holy Spirit doesn't know any other way to do it. Transaction between your spirit and his spirit are going on. Incredible power is released in us. And then the mind of Christ begins to flow in us, and other gifts of the Spirit can begin to operate, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. Man, there's so much that can go on. A prophetic pronouncement can come. An encouragement can come. A word of faith can come inside your life. I've had it happen to me on dozens of occasions where I had no faith at all, and I'm just praying in the Spirit, and all of a sudden, man, I know it's going to be so. Folks, you are a self-contained powerhouse. You're an outpost from the kingdom of God. You're an embassy for God's work on earth. And one thing about an embassy, it always has the very best communication devices known to man. So headquarters can get a hold of the people on the front lines 24/7. I want you to know today that you're not out here somewhere where you can't hear from God, and God, you need somebody who's famous to tell you what God's saying, or you need this or you need that. Let me tell you something. God has infused into your life the third person of the Trinity if you're a born-again child of God today, and he is close to God. He is right there. He knows even the deep things of God, and he's willing to share. I want to encourage every one of us today to get out of the mindset that maybe the world has pushed us into and realize that we have access. We've been called to sit at the right hand of God the Father. That's the favor seat of the universe, my friends. And in Christ Jesus, he is constantly praying for us that God's will be done. You are not some lonely outpost somewhere striving just to make it through, hoping you hold on till the end. I remember, and I'm closing here, believe me. I remember being in church services back in the day in some of the older Pentecostal churches when they had testimony services, popcorn testimony. People stand up, say something wonderful, and say something stupid. And some of the ones I remember most is people stand up and say, pray for me, I go all the way, and I'll pray for you. Oh, dummy. What a dumb prayer. Just plan on going all the way. God said he'd never leave you or forsake you. What's the problem? Amen. You know, get real. Understand what God's called you to. Understand the authority of the believer. Understand the privilege that you have to stand with the Lord Jesus. Understand he never leaves you or forsakes you. Understand that he's going to work out that good work he performed in you until the day of Christ. You're not as fragile as you think you are. The enemy's been lying to you. And you begin to meditate on the law of the Lord day and night. You begin to pray without ceasing. And you begin to recognize changes in atmosphere in God. And you're going to find yourself hearing the voice of the Lord. You're going to find yourself full of joy. You're going to find yourself at peace. You're going to find yourself getting healed. You're going to find yourself being effective in other people's lives. That's what this 21 days has been all about. I am sure that many people are going to be burning up the gaming consoles tomorrow. I am very sure that there are movies from Netflix piled up 6 inches deep on some people's counters. I am sure that there are lists of movies that need to be watched right away. I'm sure that there are daytime shows. Always positive reinforcement for your faith that you've been putting you've been recording them. But I'm also aware that some of you have been, basically, you've had an injection, and I pray that that injection will continue. Would you stand to your feet this morning? Prayer team leaders, would you come back right quick? Been a lot of prayer already this morning, and there could be somebody here today that did not get prayed for before. I had a man bring me a word of knowledge early this morning. He said, there's a man in his 30s here today that is addicted to prescription drugs. Today is your day to be set free. I just hugged the neck of a lady this morning, friends, that on a Wednesday night, probably about 11 years ago right now, if recollection serves, had a $500-a-day cocaine habit, had 7 felony warrants out for her arrest, had issues. And right here at this altar, she gave her heart to Jesus and got set free from all of that stuff. Then on the next night she went to court, the judge turned down all 7 felony warrants because he saw what Jesus had done in her life. And when she went to her doctor on Friday, she was scheduled for open heart surgery. And the doctor said, you've got a new heart. She's here this morning. I say that to say this. You don't have a problem that's bigger than God's solution. And secondly, there was someone here today, he said that there's a general call, an anointing present today for the deliverance from drugs, alcohol, and cigarettes. So if that's you, you don't have to raise your hand right now. You can just come and get delivered. I felt also this morning that there was the word of the Lord to me when I was preparing this morning. I feel like there's somebody here with larynx issues, and I'm not sure they're related to an inner ear issue, but that came right along with it. So if you have some problems in your throat and your inner ears today, I would advise you to come on and get prayed for, because I believe the Lord's going to touch people along these lines today. And in addition, the greatest healing of all could be yours today if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He is so good, and he's drawing people by his Spirit, and he just says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And he will. He'll change your life from the inside out today. So if you've never received Christ, don't know what your eternal status will be, this would be a good day to come and receive him. Let's pray, shall we? Father, thank you from the bottom of our hearts, Lord God, for your goodness to us. Open our eyes that we can see the hope of our calling. Father, I pray today for people around this room that have experienced wonderful things in this last 21 days. And I pray for them, Lord Jesus, that this wouldn't just be a blip on the radar screen, but this would be a beginning of days. This would be a beginning of a new habit being lived out in life and putting first the things of the kingdom of God, as you promised us would be so rewarded. Father, we ask today that you touch life after life after life after life with your giving power today. So, Father, we bless you. We bless these wonderful people today. In Jesus' name.